I'm Kevin Kelly. The show's Live and Local, your connection to local music and more. And on the show today, coming up, we will be talking about the Star Drama and Dance Program at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, Illinois, and specifically about their Broadway Boot Camp, which opens for young people starting next week. It's 4 1-week programs. And we'll hear about that from Heather Johnson, who's the education director for that program. For most of the hour, we'll spend the time with Jan Trauber, who is the new director of the Kirkland Fine Arts Center at Millikan University in Decatur, and talk about some of her vision for the center, but also hear some music that she's brought along to share with us. And we'll find out why she made those particular choices. It's Live and Local. Stay tuned on FM 90.9. That was some music sort of left over from yesterday's program, or could have been left over from yesterday's program, because it's the sort of music that you will hear played at the Playford Ball, sponsored by the Central Illinois English Country Dancers. I think that's the name of the group. I'm not sure I'm getting it quite right. And the Playford Ball, named after John Playford, who, as they said in yesterday's conversation on this show, was the publisher of and editor of a lot of music for the dance. And those two tunes you just heard, Go From My Window and The New Exchange, both came from John Playford's English Dancing Master. And they were played by the Broadside Band, led by Jeremy Barlow, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. We're going to share much of this hour with Jan Trauber, who is the brand new director of the Kirkland Fine Arts Center at Millikan University in Decatur. She has been with the center for quite a while, and I appreciate, Jan, you're coming over to join us on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center?
I started back in 1999 as the box office manager. And about 3 years later, became the patron relations manager, which meant that I just was given more responsibilities, which I enjoy doing very much. Dealing with the patrons and just making all of their visits to Kirkland as enjoyable as possible. And then from there, I've become the director. So I'm very excited about the opportunity. I just would like to share about some of our upcoming shows and some of our past shows. So just let me know how we would need to go forward.
Yeah, sure. Well, and I think we're actually going to have you back once the season is officially announced, which I think it hasn't been yet. Is that correct?
It has been.
It has been. Yes. Did I receive the announcement? I'm not sure that I did.
It was an email campaign to our email patrons. Not certain if you're one of those, but I'll
need
take your
to be.
Email
Make
address
sure that I am. That's right.
Certainly add you to our database. That's another awesome thing that we are able to do through our facility. But also it was announced through the Herald and Review.
Okay. Well, I will check my email again, but I think we're going to have you back and sort of run through, musically speaking, a lot of the shows that are coming up in the season once we get a little closer to it. But wanted to talk to you just a little bit about some of the things you have in mind for the center, some things that have gone on before you got there. And since you mentioned your role as patron relations manager, what does that mean? What are some of the issues you have to deal with in relating to the patrons? I imagine that can be pretty various.
It is. That's one thing that I love about the job, dealing with people. I enjoy that very much, all ages, and a nice opportunity at the center is we deal with all kinds of patrons, really from every socioeconomic area, faction, and age-wise, too. So It's never a dull moment, never the same thing any day, one after the other. So that's enjoyable. I take care of the patrons' requests, any concerns that they have, accept suggestions. We're always open to that. Helping patrons take care of any special needs that they have, whether that be due to disabilities or, just for their comfort. Anything that makes their visit at Kirkland enjoyable, memorable, and one that they want to come back for.
What kind of concerns might you hear about? Did you hear about?
Things that I've heard about is, and this is a continuing challenge for anybody, I think, in patron relations or public relations in any business, is that parking, the big P word, Milliken and Kirkland, parking issues.
Especially on a university or college campus.
Exactly. And as our population grows elderly and there's more and more people with handicap plates, we've had challenges, and we've tried to come up with suggestions, opportunities, solutions to the parking challenges or problems, however you want to look at it. We now offer valet parking, which has been a really nice offering for our patrons. And that basically came from brainstorming, and it's been a really nice addition to our offerings for patrons. Sound can be an issue. Some people think it's too loud. Some people think it's too soft.
If something is amplified.
Exactly. We do have a hearing assisting device for people that have challenges with that. And once again, anything to make our patrons comfortable and want to come back. So.
This is sort of a general question, but how do you deal with problems that you know you can't do anything about?
I listen very carefully and, acknowledge that it is a problem for them, and I appreciate that it is causing them stress or whatever it might be causing them, and that I'm open to solutions. And that if I can't find an answer that moment, I take their number and I get back with them and we talk about it if it's not resolved at that point. We have staff meetings. That's at that time is when we will say, okay, this is the show that we had last week. Here are the problems. And we do brainstorming. We work as a team, which I've also found very positive thing, because just because somebody on staff may have his expertise, may be the backstage, it's good to have a different perspective. And we've come up with solutions from all walks, not only our patrons, but our staff and even people on campus from other departments. So we just always look forward to improving things however we can. So
when you were hired for the job, did they, those who were doing the hiring, give you any indication of why they gave the spot to you?
Interestingly enough, I think I had been very well versed and very well trained in team building. And I don't think that was really something necessarily that had been broached with that particular group on campus. And so I think maybe that possibly gave me an opportunity to come in and offer some different things. I did not have any background in fine arts management. Actually, I managed doctor's offices before, but I'd been in that field for almost 20 years. It's managing people, and I'm grateful for the team that did, open up the possibilities of bringing somebody in for their talents or their expertise rather than having the, quote unquote, ticketing, having a ticketing background or a fine arts management background. Mm-hmm. So,
and who else is on the team?
Okay. Brian Diver is our director of the backstage area. His assistant is Sarah May. Brian's been at the university for 13 years. Sarah is American grad. She worked as a student for us backstage. And now she has been with us as a adult member of the team. Non-student, I guess would be a better term, for about 7 or 8 years. I apologize, I'm not certain. And then Mary Lynn Arnold is our event coordinator, and she started 6 months before I did. So she's been at the university about 11 years. And she also works for the art department, so she wears two hats. Many of us wear many hats.
So event coordinator means?
She is in charge of scheduling every event that takes place in Kirkland Fine Arts Center. So not only for the Kirkland stage, but also for, we have many rooms that are used for teaching. We have a band, a Towers band room. You know, there's all kinds of rooms down in the basement where our choirs practice. And then we have three art galleries in the building, too.
So getting everything scheduled.
Getting everything scheduled.
Making sure that you don't have two events.
Exactly.
At the same time, yeah, in one place.
Exactly.
So what then is your role?
Well, and I need to add one more team member.
Oh, sorry.
Our BJ Warren helps us with marketing also.
I've talked with BJ before. Right. I think he's actually sat in your chair and talked about some of the shows.
Right.
So what then is your role besides coordinating all these people?
Coordinating the people. I'm still going to be taking care of the patron relations faction, our friends program, our sponsors, we have restaurant sponsors, series sponsors, hiring a new box office manager, and just also programming, which Barry has been kind enough to allow me. Barry's the outgoing director.
Barry Pearson.
Barry Pearson, sorry. And he has allowed me in the last couple of seasons to kind of get my fingers in the scheduling.
So you think he was grooming you?
I don't know. I think he wanted to see if I was interested, and it is. It's interesting. It's challenging, but it's a fun portion of the job. I look forward to working on it.
Well, I think it's pretty critical important.
It's very
part
important.
Of the job.
Yes,
because that's what's going to bring people into the center.
Exactly.
Is who's there. And as somebody who didn't, well, let me ask. You said you didn't have a fine arts management background. Do you have a background at all in the arts, in music,
just
performance, other than as an appreciator?
Just a love for it.
So how does somebody, given that your situation, find out how to do the programming? You mentioned to me before we actually came on the air that one of the CDs you brought along is of somebody who's going to be, or I guess who was there last year, who you discovered for the center.
Mm-hmm. There's conventions to go to, the Midwest Artists Convention, which is in different cities. I've been to the one in Kansas City, Missouri, and the one in St. Paul, Minnesota, where it's basically all of the fine arts presenters go, and then you go and see the myriad of groups that are touring, the availability. And then there is a national group that I'll be going to in January. It's IPAP, and I'm sorry, I don't remember what that stands for, but it's the national programming. And Barry has gone to it, and you get to see what national groups and touring groups are going to be available for the upcoming seasons. And, you know, just being the patron relations manager, I feel like I had a really good finger on the pulse of the patrons in that I heard most of their, if there were complaints or positive comments, they would come to me rather than, you know, necessarily to the director, because I was the one that they were more familiar with. Part of the programming is also, I think, just getting a feel for what our patrons want and what people are hoping that we can bring into the center.
So somebody came in to perform there, and Barry or whoever had chosen them thought this would be great, and either nobody came, or people came and walked out, or people came and went to you and said, "Oh God, I didn't like those people," then that would give you an idea. Well, maybe we won't do them again, or that type of music, or the other way around.
Exactly, exactly. And sadly enough, I mean, many times when situations like that come up, it's not because of the caliber of the performance. It's just it doesn't work for our community, I guess, possibly. One type of show that has always surprised me doesn't go over is dance. Now,
really?
We have had some really amazing dance troupes come through our doors in the 11 seasons now that I've watched. And for whatever reason, dance doesn't sell very well. We've had Hubbard Street, we've had Parsons Dance, we've had some really big names, Mo Mix. And another part of my job as box office manager and patron relations manager was to go back and run reports, keep track of ticket sales, keep track of responses, and, you know, try to get an idea of what type of marketing is working and what's not. And surprisingly enough, dance has not been one that's been very well received by our patrons.
So does that tell you then maybe I better not program dance, or
exactly.
maybe not as much dance?
Maybe not as much dance. And we are, you know, we're bringing in a dance troupe this upcoming season, which I'm very excited about. And it's not that we're not going to give it a try, because there are a lot of people in the community that do love dance and do want to see that. But ticket sales yet don't reflect that the majority do.
So. Well, I wonder, too, does that then say, I mean, it may say don't bring the dance or don't bring as much of it, or does it say that you just don't have the same expectation when you do bring it?
And that could be, too. And that's part of a fine arts center. You know, we would love to be able to sell out every one of our shows. But part of being a fine arts center, to me, is to make offerings that would be, there would be no other way for people in the community to see it. You know, it's an opportunity to make things available, you know, in our community, not only for children but for adults that they wouldn't have the opportunity to see. So
some of the things that do come there, they may just be a little more niche audience.
Mm-hmm. And exactly.
You just, what do they call some of these? That wouldn't necessarily be a loss leader. I think in publishing, sometimes you'll have what they call a loss leader, where this is a book that you know isn't going to sell or necessarily even make money, but just having it on your list
kind
will
of doing
bring
art for art's
in.
Sake sometimes.
Maybe so, yeah. Well, let's hear some of the music you brought in, and let's remind listeners, too, that we're talking to Jan Trauber, who is the new director of the Kirkland Fine Arts Center at Millikan University, joining us here on Live and Local. And I'd asked her to bring in some recordings of either music that she especially liked, or I didn't give you any criteria other than that we generally listen to acoustic music here on this station. And what was the first thing you chose to play for us?
I brought a piece from Leo Kottke, who is a guitarist, and he is known for his finger-picking style. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of folk, but yet he crosses over to jazz, and he's just a really interesting individual. And I guess one thing that I love about live performances, so many of them tell a story. You know, each one of the individual pieces that Leo Kottke did has a story behind it. And the one that I chose to listen to today is called Even His Feet Look Sad. And that just
there's a wonderful name.
It kind of intrigued me, and I got to looking into it, and it's a story about a piece and about the person that this piece is about, and the absence, him being absent from his family for a period of time. Well, his wife was not very happy with that situation, and somebody said to her, "You need to talk to him. Because even his feet look sad." And I thought that was, you know, such a great line. And
yeah.
So many of the songs that we have the opportunity to hear at Kirkland have a great story behind them.
And Leo Kottke was at the center at some
point.
Yes,
he was. He was. He actually has been at the center several times. The most recent, he was there in 2002.
And so, is he coming anytime soon?
Not as of yet.
Because I missed him. I've heard him on recordings before. I always enjoyed him, but I've never seen him live.
He is awesome.
Do that. Well, now I'm really curious to hear what this piece sounds like. Even his feet look sad. Is that it?
That's correct.
Leo Kottke here on Live and Local. Leo Kottke is tuned called Even His Feet Look Sad. And it wasn't, curiously enough, it wasn't all that sad a piece, really.
A little melancholy.
A little melancholy, but it says something maybe about the personality of, well, certainly Leo Kottke, but whoever he had in mind. And that was a selection made for us here by Jan Trauber, the new director of the Kirkland Fine Arts Center at Millikan University in Decatur. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our programs today are made possible with support from Alto Vineyards, offering a retail wine shop and tasting room featuring Illinois wines from their own vineyard, 1 mile north of Illinois 150 Bloomington Road on North Duncan Road. More information is available at 356-4784. Coming up, we'll talk with Heather Johnson about the Star Dance and Drama program at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, Illinois, and about their Broadway boot camp that starts next week. Jan, I wanted to ask you, since you've been involved in the center and worked with Barry Pearson, who is the, are you actually the director now?
I am as of yesterday.
Oh, really? So this is brand as of June 1st.
Correct.
And Barry is a VP of something or another.
Academic Affairs.
At Millikan now. Mm-hmm. So you worked with him. What kind of vision have you developed, if you've yet developed one, or are you developing for the center from next year and onward?
I think it's an ongoing vision. One term that we've used, Barry basically instigated the usage of this, was engage. And I agree with Barry in this. We feel that when through the engagement of fine arts productions, it can enrich your life. And I personally feel very strongly about the importance of children and adults to be able to see live performers. There's just something magical about it, in my estimation. So many of our children are so used to watching, you know, TV, video games, movies, but just to see somebody live on stage, it's totally different. So I think just to be able to offer more, different offerings to people in our community that are interested in, to all ages, and to get that barrier down, that we may be a fine arts center, but that doesn't mean it's something that you have to wear your tuxedo to come to. It can be for parents and children events. It can be for everyone.
Does the term fine arts bother you at all?
No, not in the least. But I think it does intimidate some people.
Well, I guess that's really kind of what I was getting at. In what way do you think?
I think that some people feel like it's not approachable. It's something that's not for them because they are not, you know, they're not that type of people, or I don't know how to verbalize, I guess, what I'm trying to say, other than I want people to feel comfortable and I want to be approachable.
And what steps do you want to take or are being taken at Kirkland to?
I think that things that we have begun doing, and with Barry's very first year as director, he offered a family series, and we aren't doing a quote unquote family series per se, but we've incorporated more events that are family oriented. We've started offering them on a Sunday afternoon, which I think is a wonderful opportunity for families. it's just the time works out. You know, it used to be we would try to do a Saturday afternoon, and that didn't, surprisingly enough, didn't seem to work out. Sunday afternoon, the last few that we've done, has worked out wonderful.
And then the pricing is altered a little
bit
for those
absolutely.
Things?
Yes, absolutely. Our tickets are extremely reasonable. Extremely reasonable. And we have children's prices to nearly every show. Anything that's appropriate for children to come to.
Sure. And I imagine most of your offerings are.
Yes. There are very few things that are not appropriate for children. But if they are, we certainly we let people know, because we don't want to have people coming in and to be upset with something that, you know, they've brought their child to see. So.
And they thought was R-rated.
Right.
Don't
right.
want to be
do
surprised.
We do not want to go there, no. So.
And you and the opposite, you would say if it wasn't something that younger kids would.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I did not get to see these people, but I really wanted to, because I did the an interview with them. I forget if it was a phone interview or in person for one of last year's offerings. And I know you brought some music along of theirs, a group called Baca Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
What interested you about them? And I'm assuming this was a fairly family-friendly one.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. The story that they were telling through their music and just the people fascinate me, how this group of people got together. And when I say this group, it's the actual performing group. They're from all over Europe. Some of the members were from Britain, some were from Africa. But what they have done is their music is termed world music. And it's Celtic and African, and it's just, it's fascinating. And a lot of it is influenced by the Baka people, which is an African pygmy tribe. And they actually go to this tribe's village, and they have learned the rhythms that they use, and have incorporated them into their music. But they also have gone back to this tribe, and the part of the money that they make from their sales and ticket sales and CD sales, they've given back to the tribe and helped them to build like a music center and helped them to build a health center. But it was just fascinating to me that a group of musicians would find, you know, a group of people that they felt so vested in that they wanted to help. I just thought it was very touching. And
absorb their music.
And absorb their music.
Because you said it's mostly Europeans, mostly not African mm-hmm. musicians, although there
Correct.
Were some picking up this particular
mm-hmm.
style.
But I love their music. Absolutely love it. And again, this is a group that I became familiar with by going to one of these conventions. And this is an example to me of a group that not many people in Central Illinois would have the opportunity to see if they weren't brought to our center
probably quite true.
Right.
What is the tune you selected for us?
It is called The Rhythm Tree, and actually that's the name of the CD that it's from. And again, it's with the Baca Forest people.
So involved in this performance.
Mm-hmm, you'll hear their rhythms and a lot of the traditional Baca singing style and the instruments they use. And instruments were very interesting, and they brought those. It was an awesome show for children because it showed them all of these different instruments that basically were handmade by the tribe.
Yeah. Baca Beyond here on Live and Local. Sample of the group Baca Beyond, involving the Baca Forest people from Africa. The band representing musicians from throughout Europe, and they were at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center this past season. And Jan Trauber hinted to me that she would like to have them back at some point, and so we could perhaps look forward to that. Jan Trauber is the new director of the Kirkland Fine Arts Center, has been my guest for this portion of Live and Local, and I appreciate your making the drive over to Urbana to chat with me, and we'll have you back to give a more a broader full-hour preview of some of the things that are going to be on this season. We're sampling some of the ones that were on previous seasons, and we have one more of those.
Well, again, thank you for letting me come. I appreciate it, and I look forward to coming sometime later in the summer.
Yeah, well, that'll be a lot of fun, and it's great to meet you, and good luck as you grow into this new position.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
And we're going to wrap up with one of the groups that was here. They were called Slide IE, and I learned during the course of my interview with them at the time, the IE was just to differentiate them from other groups called Slide.
Correct.
IE was, I guess, the international.
The international, for yes, because there's definitely a stateside Slide that wanted that distinction made. So.
And you liked them very much.
I was lucky enough to see these young men live at one of the conventions, and they do a show that just is amazing, absolutely amazing. So very happy that they were able to come last year. And again, this would probably be a group that in a couple of years we would look to bring back. So they were very entertaining. Crowd loved them.
Thanks very much, Jan Trauber here.
You're very welcome.
On
Thank
Live
you.
And Local. The tune is called Slide Out. Just a little bit of a tune called Slide Out from the group called Slide from Ireland here in Live and Local. Programs today on FM 90.9 are made possible with support from Columbia Street Roastery, offering a variety of tea and chai. They're at 24 East Columbia in Champaign, open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5:15 p.m. and Saturday mornings from 9 to noon. More information is available at 352-9713. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Heather Doré Johnson. She's the education director for the Little Theater on the Square's STAR program, which stands for Students Theater Arts Reach, which almost sounds like a bit of a reach to turn it into the STAR acronym. Did you have anything to do with coming up with that?
No, I did not. And actually, I think the name is going to be changing soon. Though I don't know what it is, our company manager Sean Priby, who is actually directing our tour shows, he's thinking of a new image and a new logo, and we're going to try and update it a little bit.
So it may not be called STAR any longer.
It may not be STAR anymore, but the program will still exist and be better than ever.
So what is the STAR program at the Little Theater?
Well, the theater. Being one of the only professional equity theaters between Chicago and St. Louis, we have the opportunity to offer acting and dance classes to any student in the Central Illinois area. So, you know, we try to take advantage of the fact that we have really great facilities. We have our own dance studio, our own drama studio. We have professional actors in year-round. And a lot of those actors have experience in teaching. So, you know, giving them the opportunity to take classes from professionals and to see a professional facility and understand how the process works, and you know.
And they, in this case, are younger people?
These are younger people, ages 3 to 18. So we start dance classes at age 3, or as long as they're potty trained, and all the way through 12th grade. Our acting classes, our drama classes, start at age usually 6, kindergarten or first grade, depending on the year on what the enrollment happens to be, and that through 12th grade as well. And along with the drama classes, we offer a acting the song class, which is like a small group, you know, voice lesson.
So that, you said acting a song.
It's called acting the song.
Oh, the song.
The song. Okay. Yeah. So they learn basics in music performance and, you know, breathing techniques just to clean up their skills.
And this is, these courses go all year round?
Actually, they typically run from, you know, the fall through the spring with the summers off. But this year I've added our dance classes on our company days off, which is about every other Monday. We have dance classes available for students who are 9 through adults.
But they typically sign up for specific elements of the program?
Uh-huh. You can take any combination of classes that you want, but I mean, you can take dance and drama classes, but yeah, usually you're signing up for a whole year of dance, which is spring through, you know, or fall through spring, or you can sign up for a semester of drama, which would be either the fall semester or the spring semester or both. And then the summer session is a completely different.
Well, in the summer session we're going to talk about, because, of course, summer session is coming up,
yeah,
and particularly this Broadway boot camp, which is actually why I contacted you in the first place, because mm-hmm. that's sort of curious to me. For the year-round program and for the summer, what's the process of getting in? Is there an application? Is there an audition? Is it just sign up?
Nope, it's just sign up. The camp's really targeted to, you know, entry level people who, or kids who don't have as much experience in the performing arts and, you know, want to sample and see what it's like. We offer 4 different weeks of the camp. The first week focuses on acting. The second week focuses on singing or vocal performance. The third week focuses on dance. And the fourth week focuses on performance, which is what I would consider our triple threat camp. It's acting, singing, and dancing combined into 1 week. And each week concludes with a small performance.
So this is the Broadway boot camp.
This is the Broadway boot camp, yeah.
Before we talk a little more detail about the boot camp, tell me a little bit how you got into this whole business in the first place. I know you, Heather, from the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, uh-huh. some shows that we've done. You've been an actor or dancer and or a choreographer. I was the music director of some kind or another. I can't remember what some of the shows were, but you've obviously got a lot of dance background, as I'm reading your biography here,
yes.
which I already knew, actually.
I began dancing when I was 4 years old here in town with the Royal Academy of Dance.
And you were potty trained at that point.
I was potty trained, yes, as most 4-year-olds I think should be. But yeah, I started with the Urbana Park District and the Champaign Park District. They combined. And this was after the National Academy closed in town. So my instructors, Kim Burson and Cindy Pippin-Doyle and Jessica Bingston, they were all very seasoned and certified teachers. So I got, a really great training. And I continued through the Royal Academy through my senior year of high school and even after that. And I started teaching there. Alongside of all the dance training, I got interested in drama in high school and musical theater. And it just sort of stuck with me. And, you know, doing so many community theater shows, I was always, you know, not just on stage, but working behind the scenes. And I really learned a lot doing that and continued in college. I went to Parkland and I did shows there. And I, you know, the theater world is very small in the entire country. Everybody knows each other. And the networking really, I think, is what helps you land a job. And a friend of mine, Stacy Walker, who is still a dear friend, she asked me if I would be interested in teaching ballet at the Little Theater on the Square. And I was like, oh, this is a great opportunity. So, you know, I jumped on that and I started teaching there. And I also joined their star tour of the first show we ever did was Accidental Friends. And that was like a touring group, and still is, that goes around to schools all over the state of Illinois performing theater for young audiences.
The Star Tour.
Star Tour, which will have a new name soon. So I was doing the Star Tour, and I was teaching dance classes, and I think in that first year, I performed for over 30,000 kids just in the state alone. And the second semester, I did the Garden of Rikki Tikki Tavi, and I was teaching again as well. And then I left, moved back to Champaign, and worked at a couple different places, Cobalt Digital and the National Council of Teachers of English. And I was still doing theater at the same time. And then Stacy calls me again. She's like, we need someone to just teach dance ballet classes. So I was like, okay, I'll come down and teach ballet classes. And then she said that they needed another girl to be in West Side Story in their summer stock productions. And I was very gung-ho about that because it was my first professional, main stage production. The tour was professional, but this was my first equity show. And since then, I've been there. I became... After I did West Side Story, they asked me to stay and become the dance coordinator. And then I was the co-education director, and now I'm the education director.
So dance coordinator for the STAR program.
For the STAR program. So I oversaw all of the, yeah, all of the dance classes and my instructors. I hire my instructors and make sure that they are taken care of and that the whole program stays running smoothly. I have a huge dance recital every spring and a smaller one in the fall or Christmas time, depending on the year.
So your teaching duties are still pretty much in the dance area.
Pretty much. I don't teach any drama classes, but now I'm overseeing both dance and drama. So I'm hiring and maintaining classes. You know, just I'm kind of like the principal.
And also the overseeing the music part of it, the singing as well?
Not so much singing. I mean, I hire for shows that I'm directing, for kids shows that I direct, I hire a vocal you know, a music director who takes care of all of that, and I'll do stage direction and sometimes choreography. It depends on how my boss will staff the show. But
And your boss is?
My boss is John Stevens. He is the executive director at the Little Theater on the Square. He's also a good friend.
Yeah, and he's been on the show a couple of times. Yeah. In fact, trying to get him to get back to me about some of the shows. I saw your season's been announced for the summer. It's got a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
How often do the kids perform?
All the time. We have a summer, a spring musical, which is the big, you know, kids' spring musical for, depends on, you know, the show, but we just finished Beauty and the Beast Jr., which I directed, and that had kids that were ages 8 through 18, and it was a great show. It was the first time we had ever single cast a show instead of having a double cast, and that took a huge load of stress off of everybody. I mean, we had over 300 costume pieces alone in the show.
Wow.
Because, yeah, the kids did so much. They played so many multiple roles that, you know, they were just on and off and on and off. But they learned a lot.
And how many kids involved in that production?
There were, I believe, 43 kids in that show.
That's a manageable number.
It's manageable, but the stage we have is very small. It is, not only is it little, but it's, you know, named after Guy Little, who founded the theater, but it really is a small theater. It was originally a movie theater. So we don't really have a backstage or wing space. So, you know, it's usually like a Tetris backstage with set pieces or set furniture. And
what is Tetris?
Well, we have to, you know, everything. It's like a puzzle. Fitting backstage, okay, during a show.
I didn't know if that was a technical term.
No, not at all.
That's something I don't know about. There's a lot of things I don't know about. And is there then going to be a summer show that comes out of the boot camp?
No, each boot camp on the last day of its camp, on the Friday of each week, will have a small performance for friends and family. In 1 week, you can't really do a full-blown production. So we give them a sample of what the kids have been working on all week, and it also gives them a goal to focus on, and you know there's a goal at the end of the week, so it's worth the effort, and in doing that there, it's a learning process. So
I noticed from this sheet that I have in front of me that the acting morning session is full. There's a morning and afternoon session.
We do morning and afternoon sessions. All of the morning sessions are for kids in first through fifth grade, and the afternoon sessions are for kids in sixth through 12th grade.
And so if you're in first through
fifth,
you can't sign up for the acting part at this point.
It is maxed out. I have more than the number that we had accepted. So,
but for anything else, you're still taking
everything is open,
students.
Yeah.
And it starts next, the acting session starts next Monday.
Acting starts on Monday, 9 a.m.
And in order to sign up, what do they have to do?
Just give me a call or an email at the Little Theater on the Square, and our number is 217-728-2065. Or you can email me. My email is heather@thelittletheater.org.
You do need the in there.
You do need
Heather at the Little Theater. Give that phone number once more, a little more slowly.
Sorry, 217-728-2065.
And what do you find particularly challenging about that? Well, back up. Did you tell me that this is the first boot camp you're doing?
This is actually the second boot camp.
Second boot camp. Mm-hmm. So you did that last year then?
We did.
What is particularly challenging about the summer course versus the year-round thing?
It's a condensed, and it's more intense than our typical dance and drama classes throughout the year. So it's concentrated, and we push them a little harder than we normally would in our regular dance and drama classes. And I think we set kind of a higher standard, and we have a goal to reach within 5 days of class. And I think that they learn a lot out of it, and it's a lot of fun, and they get to meet kids from all over Illinois. And then they get to sample. They get to see the summer company, all of the actors that are here from all over the country, and people that have been on Broadway and people that have been in movies and on TV. And they get to see them, and they get to kind of sample the professional theater world.
And do they get to sit in on some of the rehearsals of the...
I'm thinking about it. Yeah. I have to check with our stage managers to see if it's okay, but we are definitely going to be touring the facilities and seeing our scenic shop and costume shop and dance studio and the theater and backstage the dressing rooms. And
so this is a resident camp? They stay in...
No, it is not.
It's a commuting camp.
We have 60 actors and crew to house already. So we rent every possible house and apartment in Sullivan that we can find. So we do not have room to house the kids, unfortunately. So, yeah, if you are coming from out of town, I have an information letter that goes home with you once you've registered that tells you what you can do while you wait. It's only 3 hours a day, so it's not too bad. But there actually is a lot to do around Sullivan, and we have shows to see, of course, if before or after your camp, if they're interested. So
they're free in the evenings, basically.
Yes, evenings they can go home and do whatever they please,
or go see the shows.
Or go see shows. Yes,
whatever.
Come see me in a show.
Yeah. What show are you in currently?
Right now, I'm rehearsing Showboat. I have rehearsal at 1, so I've got to get going soon. But I'm in Showboat. I'll be in Annie, and I'll be in Hair.
And who are you in Showboat?
Showboat, I am in the ensemble.
In the ensemble. Showboat is, that's always been I love so much of the music in that.
It's beautiful, yeah.
I've always wanted to music direct that. Maybe that'll happen sometime. Do some of the actors that are involved in the current show, do they drop in to teach some of the kids, or they have no time in the midst of their rehearsals?
It depends on the show. This season is interesting because we have about 30 people in Showboat, which is the biggest cast I think that we've ever had on the stage for a professional show at the Little Theater. Then the next show we go into is Smokey Joe's Cafe, and that's probably 10 people. And then the show after that is 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, which is even fewer people. So there will be actors available, and I may need the help, though it's sort of hard once people have been contracted in February after auditions to say, hey, can you do this? You know, there may be changes in their salaries and whatnot. But if they can help, I think I may need the help, especially for this first week. But
and do some of the kids take all 4 sessions?
Some do. Mm-hmm.
And is that particularly encouraged or entirely up
to
whoever?
Summers are crazy for everybody, so I wouldn't pressure anybody to do all 4. I think it's a really great opportunity. And within those 4 weeks, they're going to be working with, 8 different instructors. So, and they're completely different camps. So they'll be getting a lot of variety, and
it seems extremely reasonably priced, just $75 per week.
Per week.
I mean, for a full week of instruction, that's
uh-huh.
great.
It is.
So again, it's the Broadway boot camp at Little Theater in the Square, part of the STAR Dance and Drama Program. Week 1 is acting, which is next week. The younger kids in the morning, that session is full, but the afternoon for the older kids is open. Singing is the week that starts June 14th, dancing the week of June 21st, and then they wrap it all up into performance.
Mm-hmm.
Week is June 28th. And my guest this portion of Live and Local is Heather Johnson, who is the education director for the Star Dance and Drama Program. And we will let you go back and do your rehearsal for Showboat.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming down.
Thanks.
We're coming up, I guess, from in Sullivan, the Little Theater in the Square in Sullivan. For more information, you can go to thelittletheater.org. Or danceanddrama.org will get you to the Broadway Boot Camp page. Or you can email heather@thelittletheater.org. It's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly.
Life upon the wicked stage ain't ever what a girl supposes. Stage door Johnnies aren't raging over you with gems. And